Good morning. Good to be with you. My name is Charles Morgan. Heard Word is Alive Ministries. We're listener supported, so thank you for all those that support us financially and with prayers that we can continue on. We get a lot of feedback from the radio program and also from online as well. Just thank you so much for all you do. Continue to pray for us, please. This morning we're going to be talking about works. A lot of times in some churches, that's a bad word. You know, we don't want to talk about that. Don't want to hear about it. Don't want to say anything about it because we don't like the word. We don't want to talk about it in any way, shape, or form, but it's in the Bible. So we got to talk about that. We're going to be talking to Christians mainly this morning and what we should be doing. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2. Now, we're not going to read 8 and 9. So if you're thinking about that, we're going to read 10. And we're going to talk about 8 and 9. It said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." All right. He's talking about us as children of God. Now, before that, he talks about that we are not saved by works. And that's absolutely true. And it says so in the Bible. In those verses, it says we're not saved by works. We work because we're saved. We don't work to get saved. But not working after you get saved, not doing things after you get saved, is like going for a job interview and they say, "Okay, you've got the job," and you go, "Oh, by the way, I'm not going to show up any, but I want to check." Now, that's what it is if you don't want to work for the Lord, because we're supposed to. We owe him a great debt. We have eternal life through him. We owe him a great debt. And why shouldn't we want to work? Why shouldn't we want to do what he would have us to do? And he told us to go into all the world, preaching the gospel, telling everybody about this. Again, we are not saved by works. I mean, it says so. And we can look in 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 9. It said, "Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." It's a free gift that is given to us. It's not anything that we can work for. If you had to work for it, you could earn it, and we can't earn it. That's the reason Jesus had to die on the cross for us, because we can't earn it. We can't do anything for that. We can't get to the point where we got enough good works that we can have this and say, okay. And we talked about this before. People saying, "I want to get my life right before I get saved." Well, that's exactly opposite, because you can't get your life right. But we are to work. We are to be working, and we're to continue to work. And we're going to go over to James, because James has got some really good things to say about this. But I want to tell you right now, you're saved by grace. It's not of works. And the reason the Bible tells us this, we can't boast about it. Paul said, "I can't boast about it." He said, if anybody had any reason to boast about anything, to brag on themselves, it would be me. And he said some things, you know, about his lineage, about his tribe, you know, his education, all of these things. "I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees," he said, "the tribe of Benjamin." But he said, "But I can't boast. I can't boast because it was a free gift, something that was done on that cross. Jesus died for us. He did everything. He didn't say, okay, here's part of it." And when he was on the cross, he said, "It's finished." He said, "It's finished." And if it's finished, it's finished. We can't add to it. We can't do anything for it. We can't go to him and go, "Well, you know, I did this, this, and this." And, you know, that's like a quest, you know. And you see some of these fantasy shows or fantasy books, you know, and there's always somebody that's going on a quest. And some of the mythology, they had a quest they had to perform in order to get whatever it was that was going to be offered to them. And that's not what this is. This is no quest. The quest has already been done. Jesus came here and died on the cross. He defeated death for us. He gave us that free gift so that we could have that and for an eternity. And it has to be done in that way, because he is God and he paid the sin debt where nobody could, because man lost his place. He sinned and he caused us this. Adam caused all of our sin, and we have a sin nature. It's not just your little sins that you go and ask forgiveness for. You don't go to God and go, "Well, you know, I want to be forgiven for that paperclip I took, you know, at work, and I think I said a bad word." No, it's your sin nature that you're getting forgiven for. After that, you get forgiven for the sins that you commit, and, you know, take it to him. And 1 John 1:9 tells us that he's faithful and just to forgive us of that sin. So James brings this up, you know, and James just lays it out there. And not a lot of people like this, but folks, you are obligated to work. You're obligated to do what Jesus wants you to do. If you're not doing anything for him, then are you truly saved? Are you truly grateful? Did you attribute your salvation to him, or do you attribute it somehow to you? I've had people come up to me and go, "Well, you saved me." You know, and I know what they mean. They don't really mean it that way, but, you know, I don't like hearing it because I didn't save anybody. Throughout my 20 plus years of ministry, I didn't save anybody. Jesus Christ saved all those that were saved. And it wasn't me that did it. I presented the message, but he did it. He saved them. And so James talks about this in verse 17 of chapter 2. He says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." He said, it's dead. You know, and we see this. We're created. We're a workmanship of his, created unto good works. We're supposed to be doing works. We're supposed to be going out there. And you say, what is that? Folks, the primary purpose in any Christian's life is to tell somebody else about the free gift you have, about what you have in you, your indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you've got that. Your primary purpose is to tell that. You know, if you want to get down to it, I mean, that's the greatest thing you can ever do for anybody, is to tell them about that free gift. Why don't you do that? Have you been doing it? I just want to give you food for thought this morning. Think about these things. Or am I doing it? Or am I doing enough? Am I doing what I'm supposed to? You know, am I allocating so much to my life that I'm not even paying attention to that? And it's easy to do. We get off track. You know, we all get off track. But this faith that we have, and he's talking about all these people that had faith, without that faith or that works, it's dead. It says dead, being alone. That's a dead faith. That's what he's talking about. Your faith is dead. It's not doing anything. Folks, we've got to be doing something. We've got to be getting out there, or it said it's dead. We're just dead wood laying around. You know, you see something that's fell off a tree. It's not growing anymore. It's rotting. It's decaying. It is dead. You know, you got to be attached to the tree. Jesus Christ is the vine. You can call it the tree. You can call it the main root, whatever you want to do. But we've got to be attached to him, and we've got to be constantly attached to him and doing something. You know, that limb that's on that tree, it's growing leaves, and it's gathering in nutrients and everything else from the sun and helping the tree to maintain. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be constantly doing those things. And he goes on to say, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." There's another reason that we're supposed to be working, so people can see that we have something. They'll see it. And he said, you can see that I have faith by what I do, how I live, what I do, not only when I go to church, but all throughout my life. Everything that I do is pointing back towards Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to show an example to this world. The Bible tells us we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a representative of a country, and they go and they stay. And when they're there, they're sovereign of the country they represent. The embassy is. But they are a representative, and if they don't do what they're supposed to, if they don't act how they're supposed to, they will get recalled. They'll bring them back because they said, you are not a good representative. You are not showing what we want you to show in this country, and you're not doing what you need to do. You're not being who you should be. It amazes me to think about, what if God started recalling all the people that are supposed to be his ambassadors that weren't doing what they were supposed to do? They weren't showing a good representation of Christ. They were not being that good ambassador. What would happen if he just started calling all these people back? I think a good population would go down. But then again, how many of those people are truly saved? You know, and the Bible talks about that too, those that aren't. We need to understand this. You have to accept Christ. You have to know him. You have to have him in your life, because he is the only one. Verse 22 of chapter 1 of James, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." It says, hey, if you're doing this, if you're not doing what you're supposed to, if you're not working, he said, you're only deceiving yourself. You're not deceiving other people. He said, be ye doers of the word. That's because we're supposed to take this word and use it and do what he has told us to do with it. He said, go to all the world. The world starts right at your back door. You need to get in there, get out there, and do what you're supposed to. We need to be part of the process of explaining to people what Jesus Christ has done for them. He died on the cross. When's the last time you just sat with somebody and just said, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus? Or you say, hey, I want you to come to church with me. You know, or I want to invite you to church. Hey, how about saying, hey, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Can I tell you about Jesus Christ? Can I tell you what Jesus has done in my life? Explain to him, say, this is what he has done. You know, it's not enough to just go to church and think, well, everybody else is going to get there. Everybody's going to know where to go. In verse 26 of chapter 2 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we need faith, but we need works. We got to get out there and we got to do something. Folks, too many churches, too many individuals are sitting back waiting for somebody else to do it. You need to do it. It's just like taking out the garbage, you know. If it's your job, take it out, you know, instead of waiting for somebody else and think, well, it'll get so full, somebody will eventually do it. No, somebody needs to do it right now. And I'm not talking about going out and doing VBS or mission trips or any of this great stuff that everybody looks at and go, well, that's it. You know, I've got great works because I did that. No, most of the time you're just playing and having fun and you didn't tell anybody about Jesus. No, I'm talking about one-on-one. In group settings, whatever it is, of taking the message about Jesus out there. Abraham said, was not Abraham our father justified by works? He was called out, but he had to go. He had to take that step. He had to do what he was told to do. You have been told, go and do, go and do, go and do. It's told, you're not saved by works, by anything that you can do. You're saved by the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did he save you? Did you accept that free gift? Did you say, yes, I will accept that free gift? If you did that, if you truly accepted that free gift, what you did is you signed on the dotted line and said, I am now your workmanship. You have created me unto good works. The Bible tells us that we are new creatures in Christ if we accept him. We get that new life, and we're supposed to stay there, and we're supposed to do what we're supposed to. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can't see anywhere where there's retirement in here. You know, we get to the point and we say, oh, well, somebody younger needs to do that. Well, what about the older people that you can talk to that wouldn't listen to a younger person probably? You can take that to them. You can't be too young. You can't be too old to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to take that out there and relate to those people that you can. I want you to relate to somebody this morning. I want you to think right now about someone that you know that does not have Christ in their life, that you truly know them, that you can talk to them, and you can find a way to talk to them, and they'll listen to you. Take your time, write their name down, write it out what you're going to say to them if you have to. Say, you know, I want to talk this, this, and this. Ask their permission. Say, hey, you know, get to a point, say, hey, can I tell you what Christ has done in my life? Can I explain to you what he has done for me, how he transformed me, how he changed me, how I no longer want to do the things I used to want to do. I'm a different person now. And it's good that they hear it and see it. Work, do what you're supposed to do, and go out there and get involved in a church. I'm not telling you not to, but don't go around going, hell, he said not to get involved in church. Just didn't do it. That's what I'm talking about. Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling yourselves together. Go and get in part of a Bible believing church. And if there's something there that needs to be done, do it. Whether it's picking up the trash that gets left, little gum wrappers and candy wrappers that get left in the sanctuary. Surprise somebody. Go around and pick those up. I've been in many churches and you see a gum wrapper and it's there for weeks. And people will just walk by it. Some of them will even look at it. But they won't do anything about it. They won't bend over and pick it up because they'll say, well, it's somebody else's job. How about saying, this is my job? This is my job. Maybe you need to teach a class. Maybe that's what God has told you to do. Maybe that you need to get in there. Maybe you just need to help out somehow. Maybe you need to sweep out front. Maybe you need to take the rugs and shake them out. Maybe you need to clean the glass. Maybe you just need to stand there and greet people when they come in. If somebody that comes into church, I've been in many churches. I was like, man, that was cold as ice. I didn't feel welcome. I don't want to go back there. And I've been in other churches. I walked in and man, people were just warm, friendly. So glad you're here. Come, sit up here. You know, and then I've been in other churches that somebody come up and go, you're in my seat. True. It happens all the time. You're in my seat. I've been sitting in that seat for 45 years. Well, thank you. You just probably just turned that person away from the Lord because you did that. And you say, well, it's my seat. No, it's not your seat. It belongs to the Lord. And we don't have seats in a church. And it amazes me how people will do that and don't even realize apparently what they're doing when they tell somebody that, when they look at somebody. If you're a grumpy person, get ungrumpy. Quit doing that. Quit being a grumpy person and then telling everybody that you love Jesus. Because the Bible says if you love Jesus, then you're going to love fellow man. And you're not going to be that grumpy person. I'm not talking about having a bad day. I'm talking about continually grumpy. Folks, Matthew talks about this, the people that said they were saved that weren't saved. You know, and you say, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, the Bible tells us that the devils believe in Jesus. He said, thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. Those demons that Jesus was going to cast out of that man, they said, what have we to do with thee, thou Holy One? They knew exactly who Jesus was. You say, how do they know that? Because he created them. See, it's not enough to say, well, I believe in Jesus. He's saying, nope, the devils believe in Jesus. They know who he is, but they're not going to heaven. They tremble at the thought of being in the presence of Jesus. We as Christians, I think we've lost that. We come in here and we act like we're doing a great thing for Jesus. Well, you know, Lord, here's what I did for you today. I just hope you appreciate that. No, that's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be taking the Lord. Here's what I attempted to do. I hope I did well. Forgive me for what I didn't do well. And please give me the strength to step up the next time. You know, we need to do that. We need to pray that prayer every day. Lord, help me to do your will, not my will, not go where I want to go, but go where you want me to go. And it's hard to surrender, to do that. Verse 7 of chapter 4 tells us we're also to submit ourselves, therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God in verse 8 and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. He said we're supposed to draw nigh to God. We're supposed to get closer to him. We're supposed to submit ourselves to God. What does that mean? Taking it to him and go, here. The Bible talks about this. Submit yourselves a living sacrifice to God. To say, hey, I'm at your will. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do that today. You know, he gave you a job. You go to work. But man, if there's an opportunity, you slip in the gospel. You pray about it. Maybe you just pray with somebody. Maybe you see somebody that's got a tear in their eye and say, hey, can I pray for you? Yeah, that means so much to someone. You're not wanting anything. You're not trying to get them in their church so that they'll give a tithe. You're praying for them. You want to pray for them and with them, and you want to present it to them. We're not saved by our works, but we are created unto good works. We're supposed to get out there and do this. You say, well, what is this all about? Getting and doing. Getting and doing. We're supposed to be doing something and we're not doing that. There are too many people out there that never see Jesus in anybody. Even the ones that say they're saved, that go to church and you go, they've never said a word to me. They've lived next to me for 20 something years, never told me about Jesus. I see them go to church and come back but they've never presented. They don't do anything. They've never asked me anything about it, presented it in any way. What's this Christian thing about? Show them. Show them what it's about. Walk over to them. Shake their hand. And if you can only do it in church, at least be friendly in church. Get up. Talk to people. Hear this all the time and have throughout my ministry. Well, I don't know any of these new people. Who are we getting all these new people in here? I don't know them. But that person will sit right there in the pew and never get up, never go and shake their hand. Don't go over and talk to them. You're going to get to know them if you go talk to them. And then when we have something, some sort of fellowship where they can come in, they won't even come to it. Well, I don't know these people. I don't know any of them. We're just growing too fast, you know. The Lord's going to add to the church, but he's going to take it away if you don't do what you're supposed to. These people need to be taught. Once someone gets saved, they need to be taught. A person that gets saved doesn't know everything about the Bible. None of us do, but they need to be taught. They need to be taught the right thing. And they're needing somebody to be with them. Work with them. That's a good thing to do. Get with them and do it. You know, it's, as it says, for as a body without the spirit is dead. Spirit's gone, the body's dead. I mean, we see it all the time. People die, and that body isn't doing anything. It's just laying there. It's just there. He said, so faith without works is dead also. Do you want to have dead faith? Or do you want to have live faith that is out there doing something and being vibrant and calling people to be with the Lord? Get out there and do it. We need this. So even verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Are you doing the right thing? Or are you firing up gossip and stuff that don't need to be there? You know, we don't need to be gossiping anyway, but we use that tongue for the wrong things. When we start cutting everybody down, when we start cutting the pastor down, the deacons, the song service, the lighting, everything about our church, and all you do is gripe, and you just say, oh, well, you know, this was wrong and that was wrong. How is anybody going to want to accept Christ if they hear that? If that's what it is, if that's what being part of the body of Christ is about, just griping and complaining about everybody, you know, knowing everybody's business and telling everybody's business. And, you know, I shouldn't be telling you this, but, you know, well, then don't tell me. I don't even want to hear it. And you as a child of God, you ought to say that too. Well, then I don't want to hear it. Or if somebody starts in about gossiping, go, no, thank you. I don't want to hear that. Let's talk about Jesus. When you meet a fellow Christian, what do you talk about? Somebody from your church or another church or just a fellow Christian somewhere else, what do you talk about? You talk about everything else except Christ. We just avoid it, don't we? We don't want to talk about Jesus because someone might get saved, and then what are we going to do? We're going to have to talk to them about that too, aren't we? So James is talking about this, and he said, hey, is this an age-old problem? You say, why is it in here? Because it was a problem back then. It's still a problem today. We need to learn. We all do. Hey, I'm the same way. I find so many times when I have the opportunity to do what I'm supposed to and I end up not doing it. Paul, the great missionary that went and established churches everywhere, said the same thing about himself. He said, I know the right thing and I don't end up doing it. I know the wrong thing and somehow I end up doing that. So we've got to all work on this. This is what we all do. We have to hone this. We have to do this. And you know, it's sharpening. And I've talked about this before. You don't sharpen a knife with a cotton ball. You take and you abrade it on a stone. You know, and when you do that, it's taking part of it off. And that's what we need to do to hone ourselves. Sometimes we got to get rid of some of that stuff that's not any good, that's not allowing us to be sharp like we need to be. We got to get rid of it. We got to get it out of our lives. What in your life is hindering you right now? Is there something that is keeping you from being a good workman? You know, Bible tells us to study, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. So we're to be a workman, and it said to study to show ourselves approved as a workman. So we got to get in here and we got to know this. If you go to a job, they're going to give you a handbook and they're going to tell you, you need to know this stuff. This is what you've got. This is how things work. And this is what we do in our company that will train you in that. Well, this is our training book right here, this Bible. This old Bible right here, this is a training book. And they sell them all the time. But too many of them are suffering from sunstroke because they've been thrown in the back glass. We have to get in there and we have to study to show ourselves approved so that we can be this workman. You say, man, there's a lot of things about being a work person in here. Someone that does the things that God wants us to do. You bet there is, because that's what God said for us to do. He said, get out there and do that. Go into all the world. Teaching them, seeing them saved and baptized, and then teaching them about Jesus Christ. Teach them about that life in Christ so they can go and do that again. We're to continually make disciples and all the time doing that, be a mentor. If you get older and you're wiser in the Bible, hey, teach it. Teach it. I mean, just tell somebody about it. My greatest thing is when somebody gets saved And I would come to church and they would meet me out in the parking lot with their Bible open going, I don't understand this. Can you explain this? Can you tell me what they're talking about here? We need to study so that we can be that great workman. We can be the one that knows what's supposed to be going on here. How do we treat our spouse? How do we treat our kids? How do we treat our coworkers? How do we treat those around us that are children of God? What part do I play in this? How do I fit in to being a child of God, to being part of the body of Christ, because we're supposed to be a part of the body, and each part is supposed to work and do the same, the thing that they're supposed to do. Not the same thing, but the thing they're supposed to do. You can tell if you're watching this, I talk with my hands, and I do that kind of thing. Well, my hands do certain things, my feet do certain things, my ears do certain things, my eyes do certain things, my mouth does certain things, but all of that works together for the good of my body. And so that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to work for the good of the body. We're supposed to build the body up continually, always taking care of the body, looking towards it, making sure that it's growing in the way that it's supposed to. And I'm going to tell you, and I've told people again and again and again and again, if you can't get your wood on fire, at least stoke somebody else's fire. The Bible talks about us being on fire for the Lord, you know, and it's supposed to grow and continually get going. And I come from a long line of fire starters. I'm telling you, but my grandpa he'd set fires all the time. And boy, some of them would get going good. And I had dry tinder, and boy, it'd catch a hold. And some of them didn't, because it was green stuff around it. It'd just die out. Well, we need to make sure that we've got good stuff around us, and we need to spread that fire. And if it's not spreading, we need to take and do something to it to make it spread, to get the word and get the word and get the word and get it out to people. It's not enough that we've got saved. We need to make sure that everybody else is. That's what this ministry is all about. This ministry is about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, making sure that it continually gets out there so that we can grow and grow and grow and continue to spread and spread and spread and work for that body. Hey, you know, everybody's got a little gripe, but how about keeping it to yourself? Praying about it. Say, Lord, help me, forgive me for wanting to gripe about everything. Help me to do something. Help me to get out there, you know, and help me to be the one that's doing what I'm supposed to instead of griping about somebody that's doing something else. Maybe you you want to be the song leader, but you can't carry a tune in a bucket. Well, you're not supposed to be the song leader. How about that? Go and do something else. Find what you're supposed to do. I've talked to people before. I said, it's amazing to me. I can speak, you know, but I can't sing. I don't want to be a song leader because I know I'm not going to glorify God in doing that, because everybody's going to look at me and go, man, he can't sing. Why in the world is he up there? You know, so I want to do what I'm doing, and I want somebody else that's gifted in the music to do that, you know, and then we can all worship together and praise God through his word. And we're supposed to be worshiping through his word. That's the worship. Listen to his word. We're supposed to read it. We're supposed to study it. We're supposed to know it. We're supposed to use it. It's not enough to do all these things. It's like getting a brand new tool set and you don't do anything with it. Wow, that's pretty. Man, those are nice. You've got every socket known to man. You've got all the wrenches, the great set of pliers and all this stuff in a great box, and you can roll it around in your shop. But all you do is go out there and look at it. You never use it. You never do anything with it. Sometimes you got to get those tools a little dirty in order to get them to do what they need to do. And sometimes we need to get our hands dirty. We need to get out there and get into it, do what we're supposed to do. Don't put it off on everybody else. Get in there and say, look, this is my job. I'm going to do it. And if somebody says, I want to help you, say, well, jump on board. Here we go. We can get more accomplished. And we need to work together, pull together. If you get two or three that are pulling the same load, it's lighter, it's better. But, you know, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about this body of Christ. He said, this faith without works is dead. We don't want dead faith. We want to be that workman that is created unto good works that Jesus Christ can use, that Jesus Christ will say, at the end of it all, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done for doing what I told you to do. Well done for getting out there and doing, you know, and maybe you didn't think that you were accomplishing anything, but you were, and I appreciate it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What's he going to say to you? Is he going to say well done or going not done enough? My name is Charles Morgan with Word is Live Ministry. I thank you for allowing me to be with you today.